And we are recording. Madam Chair, you're ready to go.
All righty. I guess it's June 6, 2025, 11:02 a.m., and it's the IAPC meeting. So let's do a roll call, if you don't mind. Sarah?
Oh, sorry.
That's all right.
Okay. Roll call, Mayor's vacant. Ward 1, vacant. Ward 2, Bruce Burke.
Present.
Ward 3, our newest commissioner, Michael Lahiti. Is that how you say it?
Michael Lahiti, yes.
Lahiti.
Yeah,
okay.
Good morning.
Okay, morning. I apologize.
No worries.
Okay, yeah. Ward 4, vacant. Ward 5, Robert Clark.
Present.
And Ward 6, Lois Pollock.
Present. All right. Well, hey, first of all, I want to say welcome to Mr. Lahiti for joining the IAPC.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. All right. So, next item on the agenda is approval of the February 5 IAPC meeting minutes. So, we the last meeting we had was February, and then the other ones got canceled due to some reason, whatever reason we had at the time. So we're trying to just get back on track here with that. And I think one other thing we're going to do is going to help alleviate that problem of not being able to meet. Anyhow, has anybody or everybody had a chance to review the February 5 meeting minutes?
I'll move approval.
All right.
Second.
All right. All of those in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Okay. Any opposed? Say nay. Nope. Nobody opposed. Okay. Then we've approved those meeting minutes. And now we've got item number 3 is staff update from business services. And I see we have Mr. Aaron on the...
Madam Chair, if I may, we still have the March 5th meetings minutes.
We do?
Yes.
Oh.
That was attached on the email as well that was sent out.
Okay. Okay. I guess the meeting minutes didn't get updated, maybe. I'm not sure.
Vote to approve as presented.
Pardon?
Move to approve them as presented.
Okay. Let's see, do we have a
second? I'll second. This is Bruce Burke. Bruce Burke will second.
All right. Then I guess those are approved. Or, I'm sorry. We've got the second. All in favor of approving those meeting minutes from February, say aye.
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 Aye. Anyone opposed? Say nay. Okay, those have been accepted. So February and March have been accepted. And now I think we can move on to item number 3, staff update. And who do we have presenting that? I thought I saw you on there, Mr. Williams.
Madam Chair, members of the commission, thank you for having us come in today. I'm prepared to give you a overview of BSD, current events and future items, and then I'll field any questions you have. So the business services department, recent items that are of high importance. We are at the tail end of the fiscal year 2026 budget process. If you've watched the mayor and council meetings, you've seen the updates as they've gone through. At the meeting last week was the adoption of the fiscal year 2026 compensation plan. And the preliminary budget discussion. We are at $2.413 billion in total budget for fiscal 26. Compensation plan has a couple components that have been talked about recently, which is compensation plan pay placements, where we are evaluating all employees citywide to adjust them into the correct type of range that their job duties and market call for. Then there's a second phase of that that's in the compensation plan, which is a 1.5% adjustment dependent on employee evaluations. And then there is in fiscal year 2026, additionally, another sweep to do another evaluation of all employees to do an in-range pay placement, which means basically we look at all positions, see what those position ranges are compared to market. That's what they're doing right now, is to get all the positions kind of into the market range, then and across the board, and then evaluate all employees based on their job history and experience. Human Resources has taken that initiative. They've called it the 4900 project because there's roughly 4900 employees. Once everybody's education and experience is updated, then we're doing a sweep of all employees to see where they fall into those new pay ranges to get everybody into the right market range based on their education and experience. It's a big initiative to kind of keep City of Tucson employees and City of Tucson as a whole competitive with the market. Chairman, you have a question?
Yes, Bob Clark, what's the basis of the market rate? How do you determine the market?
Ben, Chairman, members of the commission, that's a great question. Human Resources is the lead on that. What they are doing, so what we've initiated starting at least a year ago, maybe a little bit more, and it's an evolving process. It's something called the city's base pay calculator. So as people apply to the city and go through the recruitment process, when it gets time to make an offer, we have a HR-approved base pay calculator that basically takes their education experience and additionally breaks down their experience into directly related to the position or indirectly related or not related at all. Based on those factors, then it is pulling in HR's market analysis and applying it to it. What HR has done is it's a very complex piece. Probably if the commission's interested in it, it would be a good idea to have our human resources director come in and talk about it. And on my limited knowledge of it is they're looking at markets based on comparative cities. And when the comparative cities, not always do we have a similar job classification in a comparative city. So then they have to reach out to other next closest comparators to see where they can fit in. This is the City of Tucson job description, and here is the relative range at a comparative city and in the open market. And that is across, it's not just one look and get it done. They have to take that by kind of professional fields and look at those fields independent of all the others, because they might have comparative for a technical skill, like a trades work electrician might have certain cities that it compares to, and those comparative cities might not be the same for an attorney. So each one of the big groups needs to be compared kind of independent of the others. That same base pay calculator kind of evolves over time. So as they hone in on better comparators, then that gets updated. That calculator is what everybody that's currently employed at the city will be run through. The idea is because we've been running through new hires as they go in, or even promotions as they go into these new jobs or a new hire, they get run through that calculator and get placed pretty close to where they should be in the market. But the known is that city staff that haven't been promoted, that have been in their job, have not been put through that same exercise recently. So then we have some disparity. That's what the compensation plan, that's what the focus is over the next short period of time, is to get all existing employees through that same analysis to get them comparable to people that we're bringing in.
If I might ask one more. When you were going through it, you said in the first review there'd be a 1.5 adjustment. What does that mean?
So the compensation plan calls for that in-range pay placement. They're calling that phase one. That's where they're looking at existing people in their existing range and putting them where they need to be. Okay. Then a second part is the annual pay progression. So that means across the board, it is similar to what we might have referred to in the past as a cost of living adjustment, but it's not quite that, because it is hinged on employee evaluations. So for the last month and for the next 2 weeks across the city, we are evaluating all employees. What you might think of as their annual evaluation. That's always been a requirement, maybe not adhered to as well as it should be. So HR came up with a standardized form for all city to use. And the last month and for the next 2 weeks, all employees are being evaluated as their annual evaluation, depending on where they fall into their rating. So if they are below standards, they're not available for that across the board increase. It's kind of a step towards performance pay. So if they're meeting standards or exceed standards, then they are eligible for the 1.5 adjustment with a few exceptions in there. That's kind of the second phase of the compensation plan. And then they're doing another sweep of market adjustments. That's where they're going to put everybody through that calculator based on education experience. And then they have a final phase of this piece of the compensation plan, which is where that's what they'll be referring to as the 4900 project, where they will be looking then again at everybody for in-range pay placement. So it's kind of a phased approach to get in everybody at the end into very close to market wages.
Thank you. Sorry that I interrupted you.
No, it's okay. It's a big piece of the plan. Thank you. The other things, business services, so it leads into the second thing that we're right in the middle of right now. Business services itself has around 200 employees. We are working through all those 200 evaluations. We have a little bit less than 20 or so to go. So we're almost there, so that all of the BSD employees can be updated with their annual evaluations and eligible for pay progression where it's needed. Okay, and then the third and last update I have for the commission is, as the budget has been finalized, it's this time of year is when we're preparing for the fiscal year end for 2025. Our fiscal year end again ends at the end of June, and that kicks off all of the annual financial reporting requirements that we have. So where BSD Business Services is at right now is we are finalizing the engagement schedule with our external auditors. They are doing preliminary work specifically on grants to get ahead of that piece. We anticipate to be on schedule to have the external audit done in the late fall, so that we are on schedule to have the annual financial reports reviewed, evaluated, and published by the end of the calendar year. So right now is kind of the planning phase for that, so we know how the engagement timeline looks and we have staff available and everything planned out. All right, that concludes my updates for the commission. I'm happy to answer any questions to the best of my ability.
Yeah, I have a question. If we're running a budget shortfall right now, or they're anticipating, I think they're short $24 million. Was that for FY25 or 6?
Madam Chair, members of the commission, great question. So what you might hear in the mayor and council updates and meetings and out there in the public as a budget shortfall. So those discussions are really looking at FY26, 27, 28. So those are future years, which is why there's such a focus on that fiscal year 26 budget development, which I mentioned is at the tail end, to address how we're going to navigate those shortfalls, at least for the next three fiscal years. So 26, 27, 28.
And does the new budget include the, well, you know, there's a lot of talk in the media about grant money being pulled back from everywhere. Do you happen to know if that's been being taken into consideration in this budget? Because it appears to be $100 million more than last year. I didn't look at the exact number, but everybody keeps talking about $2.4 billion for this budget. So, yeah, but generally grant money and things coming from the federal government, has that been being taken into consideration?
Madam Chair, members of the commission, yes. So we kind of have two things going on. I'll give you real quick, because as Sarah mentioned, you are kind of at time. So that overall budget piece that you'll see, that's citywide. The shortfall that will get a lot of discussion is usually just through the lens of general fund, which doesn't really include grants. It's very focused on general fund only and how general fund will stay the course to make up for their budget shortfall. The majority of the city's grants, we have a lot of them, and they are usually housed out in other funds, not really in the general fund. So when you see mayor and council talking about the budget and the shortfalls, that conversation is usually just hyper-focused on general fund only. One quick mention, though, is that, yes, we are monitoring and have been any grants that are being impacted by any federal decisions. We do that all the time, but especially with new federal decisions being made, some federal agencies receiving cuts or pauses or freezes or pullback of their available funds. We are very well plugged into those happenings to make sure that we are planning for any potential existing grants that might be impacted. As you know, existing grants have contracts that back them up. So really, you can't make decisions to pull back things that you're contractually obligated to, even at the federal government level. So any things that we see that are impacting our existing grants, our attorney's office is plugged into, as well as city manager's office, to make sure if anything significantly impacts an existing contract that we have with the federal government, that we have plans in place to litigate that. What we're monitoring additionally going forward is our ability to apply for federal grants that we anticipated but might be impacted on the federal side as they make their budget cuts. All right, I guess that concludes my comments and updates for the commission. Thank you for having us.
Well, I got one more question, though, because we have the ongoing question of, when is the city going to be hiring internal auditors? So what do you know about that? Because the last time we met, we heard that they had a few candidates that looked promising. They were going to be sending out letters. And then the next thing we hear, nobody's been hired. And so we're going on, I don't know how, over a year now without internal auditors at the city. Do you know have an update on that?
Madam Chair, members of the commission, great question. I only know what was updated in the last meeting. The internal auditors do report up to the city manager's office, so I don't get to see the recruitment status. My unofficial update from city manager's office is that they were looking for recruitment. As they were going into this budget cycle, though, many recruitments across the city were not exactly frozen, but were kind of being additionally evaluated for timeline so that they can make sure that we are filling high priority ones first based on budget capacity. So I don't know where the recruitment for internal auditor stands because it is in the city manager's office.
Thank you.
Okay, great. So sounds like we might need to get somebody from the city manager's office to talk to us at the next audit, or at the next commission meeting. But thank you, Aaron. Let's see. Okay. Well, I guess based on that, we'll go into this next topic, which is a discussion of comparative municipality internal audit programs, because it kind of leads into, you know, where we're sitting, where they're sitting at the city and their audit program. I was just going to have a, I think we had a discussion of this last time. I'm sorry, I don't remember. It was a little while ago. But basically, talk about what Tucson has or doesn't have, what do other cities have in regard to their internal audit programs. And so I don't know, Sarah, can bring up into the meeting, share a screen where you can bring up either like the city of El Paso, that's a good one to look at, just to start maybe the discussion, and then we can talk about what does the city of Tucson have. So as far as I know, as far as I've been able to determine, the city has their requirement for their internal auditors in the charter. And I don't, can we bring up that document or not? I'm going to see. I know I have it here somewhere, but.
Madam Chair, are you talking about the, which document do you want me to put up on the screen?
Well, it was the charter where it calls out authorizing. It's not real specific, but it does have something in there about, let's see here. It does have something in there about the internal audit activities.
I do have, it was back in February, I believe, Madam Chair, that you talked about, you did the comparative analysis of different municipalities, and you provided us a kind of like an overview of that on a document. Mm-hmm. It's something about the red and the yellow. You mentioned something about that.
Okay, so, I got one from February. So, do you happen to have this?
I do. I have document. The one. Yes, let me go ahead and share screen.
Okay,
sorry, perfect. I'm working with one computer, one screen, so give me one moment.
Yeah, it's kind of work. So basically, I just wanted to have the commission look at where's the audit requirement coming from in the first place in the city's charter. And I have a link for that in the document that Sarah's brought up. So under audit requirements, it's the second paragraph down. And this is just a document that I put together just to try and summarize what I was, put it in order, basically. This document didn't go anywhere yet except to us. So there is a... there's a requirement, and I think you just pulled that up in there, audit requirement. That's the state of Arizona. So the city charter, so the state of Arizona, starting kind of at the top, has no requirement for internal audits of processes, it appears to me. They have requirements for financial audits, which the city has to do, like it was like Aaron was just talking about, you know, every year they put out their budget and their, you know, their how they spend all the money and everything, financial report, and then they have to have an independent company review that. That's really the only thing that the state of Arizona requires. And so they don't have any kind of requirement for internal audits for processes. And so the two auditors that have been working in the past at the city of Tucson, they've been doing more process audits of departments and their processes. in order to help them determine, are there areas where they could improve? Are there things that their procedures say they're supposed to do, and then they're not doing them? And so now that we haven't had internal auditors for a while, we don't have any of that. I don't have the link right off to the city of Tucson, where their charter is, that I didn't look that one up right off. But it was during when Mayor Romero was a council person that she actually went into the charter, and I forget, I read this somewhere. It was on her website or something somewhere. She actually got the charter changed to have stronger language for internal audits because she thought it would be important to have this oversight and, just a tool basically to help find things that need improvement. So anyhow, we can always look that one up and pull it up and see what the wording is. But I read it and it is very, very ambiguous. It really doesn't say anything is required. It doesn't say they have to do audits every year. There's a schedule. It doesn't have any of that kind of thing. And so that's kind of where we're starting from. I don't know how long, maybe Commissioner Clark, has the city ever had more than two auditors?
Yes.
Okay. Was that like a long time ago? Because as long as I've been looking at it, maybe 5 years, they've only ever had two.
I was familiar with some 6 years, 7 years ago, and they had more than two auditors.
Okay. So anyhow, that's just, something to kind of think about. They've pared everything down at the city to, in a lot of places, minimal requirements. And it's kind of, I hope they think that the internal audit department is important enough to hire the auditors, but you know what? It sounds like, we just have to inquire to see if what the plan is and on the timeline.
Madam President, I have a question.
Sure.
What particular audits are we talking about?
We're talking about an audit of any city process there is. So every department has a number of processes. And so, and then I think if we pull up the city of El Paso, we'll see what they're doing. So, for instance, in transportation, they have the sign shop. So they have a process of when you need a new sign, how do they do it? They have a process of filling potholes. They have a process of going out and doing major street repairs. They have, ES has a process of picking up your garbage. They have a process of picking up your recycling. They have a process of brush and bulky pickup at the curb. Those are all processes. And those are the types of things that cities should be looking at.
Well, you're now, talking processes. What audits are we talking? I understand processes. What audits are we talking about? And who is to do the audits?
I'm just talking about in general. This is what the audits could be, and what other cities are doing, and why.
Well, you talked about processes. How are they being audited? How frequently?
No.
By whom?
Not. The city, as far as I could tell, the city of Tucson only audits whatever.
You're talking about El Paso.
Oh, okay. Well, we can go and look at that, but I'm just saying, in general, those are the type of audits. Currently, from what I gather, the auditors that they want to hire at the city of Tucson, I'm pretty sure I read over the position descriptions, and they want to hire CPA, people with CPA experience. If they're only going to be auditing financials, that's a great thing to have. But in other business sectors, the private sector, they're not hiring CPAs to do department process audits because they have a different toolbox. A CPA, there's a huge demand for that. So we've been hearing from the city, for instance, that they can't find candidates. Well, part of that reason could be because maybe they have a requirement for financial experience, and it's hard to find those people because, as we just heard, we probably may not have competitive salaries. And so, you know, one point in my little write-up was basically, could they potentially look for a larger pool of auditors by changing the requirements that they need, at least for certain types of auditors? So process auditors typically are not CPAs. They have other auditor credentials. But if you're a financial auditor, absolutely, you probably need CPA background or you need to be a CPA. So I'm just saying, you know, these are the kinds of things that may be holding up it may be holding up hiring resources for the city. So one is, you know, just to recap this, the requirements are not clearly stated in the charter. That's another problem. The requirements for the position descriptions, they clearly want somebody who's financial. That may be another roadblock. Then I've got the audit schedules, I've got audit standards and all that. But let's just pull up the city of El Paso and look at what they have. So if you just type in I've got a link there anyhow. Let's see, El Paso. Can you click on that link?
Madam Chair, I'm on the link to El Paso. Okay. Is this the one or is there another one?
No. No, I'm just, I can't see it on one, I'm operating on a tiny screen today. Okay, so basically, a lot of cities have things that they have internal auditor pages. If you just go to the objectives, they've actually got their own web page. So that's point number one. City of Tucson has no internal auditor webpage. And so they don't publish for the public. They're not easily. You could find the audit plan if you had to, but I don't know where the City of Tucson keeps it. We've seen it because we've had it. We have to review it. Now, every year, basically, these cities develop an audit plan. It appears from the City of Tucson, they're using the same audit plan every year. I don't know what that means. But anyhow, in this one, in El Paso, they're basically looking, okay, what are the objectives of, you know, the internal audit function? And I think if we just cruise down through that, so they're looking at internal audits as an independent objective assurance and advisory service designed to add value and improve organizations' operations, accomplish objectives. It doesn't say that it is, and this one says conducts audits in accordance with the GAO, Yellow Book, and the Red Book. I'm not familiar with those, but I don't think that the point here is those are standards that have been developed for government-type entities, and I've never seen those referred to. Maybe they are using them, but we've never really asked those questions of our internal auditors. What is your standard that you're auditing against? Because you have to have some kind of standard. You can't just go in and look at the procedures that are written and audit to the procedures. Yeah. And so sometimes, if they're only auditing financial, they're probably looking at, you know, these generally accepted financial principles that any kind of financial auditor look at. But when you look in these Yellow Book and Red Book standards, they will, you know, have different information on what am I comparing the City of Tucson to, for instance. So in this case, the City of El Paso has chosen these as standards to measure the City of El Paso's performance against.
Madam Chair, may I interrupt?
Yeah.
In all of this, do we have any semblance of a action plan?
That would be for all of us to try and come up with. that's where we need some kind of a subcommittee, you know. And I kind of took on just an outlining what the basic, you know, the major topics were for the internal audit program. And that would be just being able to have something to sit down, and then we can talk to the internal audit function, if there is anybody, and ask them, you know, these questions. Okay, what are your objectives? What are you using as standards? Where are you publishing this information? You know, we're just trying to get an idea of what are they doing, because we've, you know, all I'm seeing is that we have a schedule.
Other than our personal information, what is the action plan that we're trying to develop?
That's going to be up to all of us to determine. You know, I don't know. You know, number one, we need to get the internal audit function back functioning. But we don't have any say over that. We're supposed to be reporting on their activity, but there's no activity. So you can't do anything until the function's back functioning.
If there's investigation into certain matters and we develop some information, and based upon that information, we could make recommendations to mayor and council and city manager. But we have to have some semblance of an action plan.
Yeah, but we don't have the action plan. They're going to have the action plan. I mean, all we can say is there's no internal auditors right now. And we've already asked, you know, we've already reported that in the last, I believe that was in the last letter that we turned in. So, yeah, it's a good question, though. I mean, what do you do next? What I'm trying to say in this, you know, overview is maybe the city of Tucson needs to improve their internal audit function and what they do, how transparent it all is, what they're actually auditing, what they should be auditing. You know, the process, that process clearly needs improvement. I'm not saying that the people who did the audits don't know what they're doing. They seem very qualified. But like I said, maybe the reason they can't find people is they're looking for a CPA instead of somebody who's just an auditor. You know, they're looking for different things. Number one, and the thing that is disturbing to me is that they may not be categorizing these two positions as being important. So who knows how long they're not going to be filled. This is one of the few oversight functions at the city. The city has a lot of commissions that aren't manned, and commissions and boards. And so the oversight in the city, just in general, has gone down and down and down. You know, so, you know, the taxpayers really aren't that happy about it. And you can see, but anyhow, aside from that, there's a lot of things to be considered just by looking at these things and just saying, okay, what are other cities doing? Albuquerque, El Paso, those cities are similar to Tucson. Their best practices should be being looked at by Tucson. The city of Scottsdale, I'm pretty sure they actually wrote in the internal audit function into their charter. It's required. You know, the city of Tucson, like I said, is very ambiguous. Pinal County, I'm sure if we look around, city of Phoenix has a lot of auditors. They're bigger, but just the same. They all see the importance of internal audits. And I'm just asking the question, I don't know if Tucson is really very serious about it. They're willing to not have that function. And so, anyhow, that's just what I'm trying to just bring up, you know, some information here about, you know, what other cities are doing, and could Tucson be improved? So does anybody have any thoughts on where we could go with this, or?
Yeah, this is Michael Lottie, and so I do have a question about, I guess what I'm understanding is what's being presented is that the city of Tucson's audit program may or may not include some of the more basic kinds of functions or what may be considered best practice as compared to some other cities? And is it appropriate for this commission, for example, to put together, you know, a statement or a report or something saying, you know, we found these deficits compared to other similar cities and make a recommendation for that? Or does the commission just receive information from the city and then comment on it? Like, I'm not clear how much like authority we have to take, you know, to do, which seems to me a good idea to call attention to, you know, what may be shortcomings compared to other cities. So being new to the commission, I'm not sure what our role is, because I also hear comments about a specific action. So
yeah, it is very interesting what this commission, it's not well defined in the bylaws. And of course, you don't want to tie anybody's feet, you know, hands together or whatever. But I think that, well, our function or whatever is to give an assessment of the internal audit function and report that. And by that, and to do that, we look over reports, we talk to the auditors, you know, but we haven't really been able to do much of that for a long time. Because even when they still had auditors, they pulled them out and they were using them in some other department. And so it's been, I think, 18 months almost since they've had the auditors. I can't quite remember, but it's been well over a year. And so, I mean, what else can we do? There's nothing to review. And all you can say really is, you know, we should, I think, in my opinion, we should be making statements about how important the function is, and what are we doing in lieu of that?
If I may add an opinion, I don't think it's the purpose of this commission to make statements, but to do investigations and make recommendations or reports. This is not letters to the editor. This is supposed to be an audit commission to look into, investigate, and make conclusions based upon what we've investigated.
Oh, absolutely. So this is just an outline for topics that you would include in an investigation about, you know, the city of Tucson's audit function and versus other similar cities or other cities in this geographic area.
My question is, how are we going to investigate or in trying to find any reality in investigating other cities and how they do it? If you look at what's on the websites, it doesn't necessarily mean that's their function. How are we going to investigate how they do it?
No, I think it is on the internet. So, for instance, if you pull up the city of... Sarah, can you just type in City of Albuquerque internal audits?
Just give me one moment.
Okay. And yeah, they have an internal audit function. Pardon?
Is it workable? Are they doing it? It's on paper.
Absolutely, they are. Yeah, you can tell. You can tell by looking at it. So if you look at, let's see here. Office of Internal Audit, and just click on, let's see here, report distribution, current audit plan. Click on that box there, please. Okay. Fiscal year 2025 audit plan, and they have everything they're going to be auditing. So arrow down there. Let's see, what do they have in here? Yeah, keep going. They probably have some topics in there. They have the actual plan in there somewhere. Objectives, yep, keep going. Audit selection, prioritization. It goes through, so everything, and you can see like in the fourth sentence down, it says, and rated the survey suggestions of ThinkBio, rated OIAs, risk assessment matrix, They're all using risk to prioritize audits. And that, you know, that's a good practice. That's what most organizations are doing. Where are my high risk processes and departments? And they're, you know, they're creating an audit plan based on that. So if you, and then they've got, you know, their estimated hours and what they're going to be spending on. We've seen that in our audit plans, how many hours are going to be, you know, dedicated to audits and consulting and all that. So now if you go to that next page, somewhere in here, they're just going to have, here you go. Well, this is also what they're going to spend hours on. And if you keep going, audit plan. Okay, so for instance, arrow back a couple of pages, so like to page 7, maybe. Yeah, this gives you an idea of, well, and page 6 does too. They're going to audit the human resources department. Whoops. They're going to, for instance, human resources department. They're going to audit strategic review of vacation and sick time. They're going to, let's see, aviation department. They're going to have a strategic review of construction project management. That's a process. And they plan, and they tell everybody how many hours they expect to spend on that. Arts and cultural, they're going to have an audit in Biopark, gross receipt, tax fund, compliance audit. So the city, you know, the auditors got together with probably their city management, you know, and figured out where are my high-risk areas, where are the areas seeing the most waste in, and they're putting their audits there. So that's their audit plan. And every year it's going to change because they have a few hundred processes. So every year you're going to have a change. What I've seen since being on the commission is we don't have, ours doesn't change. And it's like, I don't understand it. But the other obvious little things are these cities are posting these things for the public. And then if you go back to another page on the Albuquerque site, and this is like this on all the sites, you've got the, let's see, somewhere in here they've got the reports, and it might be over, so they've got the audit reports on their websites. Yeah, so if you go to the left-hand side, it says audit reports, and click on, yeah. So if you click on, say, 2024, and you can read the reports that they have. Here's a report they did on franchise fees. They have it for the public. We don't have anything like that in Tucson. That, to me, is transparency. You know, here's the audit they did. It's worked on it. Here's everything they covered. You know, they probably even, I'm sure, have opportunities for improvement and corrective actions, things like that. So the city may, the auditors in Tucson may be doing these. I've never seen them. And but maybe we've never asked for them. So I think we need to do a lot of digging. One action item is going to be we need to sit down with the internal audit people and say, what, you know, do you have a schedule? How do you create the schedule? When you do the reporting, where do you post the reports? Do you have a report for every department? They probably do, I'm sure. And how do we make that available to the public? So this is a public function. The public needs to know what are they seeing in our processes. We're short. So Aaron was talking about, you know, we've seen it on the news for the last month, the budget shortfall, $24 million. And so is internal audits are typically used to check compliance, but they're also used to determine where you're wasting. And so you can sometimes find opportunities to reduce the amount of money you spend. And so, you know, that should be one result. So anyhow, I'm just saying that, you know, maybe the action item is we just write down how does the city of Tucson do everything by interviewing people, and then here's some comparisons to other cities. But it's absolutely going to be on the internet. I don't know if we have to, we can call, we can do phone calls and things like that to other heads of audit departments in other cities. That's not a problem, you know. So I think that's what the action item is. We write it all down, and if we don't see anything, you know, that sticks out and there's no glaring, you know, opportunity out there, then you just conclude that. But there might be some opportunities that the city is missing by not having an audit program that meets a higher, I don't want to say higher level, but that is similar or as effective as other cities have.
Madam Chair, we're at time for this agenda item.
All righty. So I'd like to, you know, put this, I don't know what the next thing should be, but or the next action should be, but probably it needs to be a real committee of at least a couple people. But that's my input, you know, on this. So I don't know. I can't remember. How do we can vote on this, whether we should create a subcommittee. And right now we did create a subcommittee, but I was it. And it's, then you're only going to be getting my opinion. You know, I'm going to look at everything and then I'm going to, you know, write it all down. But we all would have to look at it and then determine, okay, is there any improvements that could be made? And how are we going to move those forward to the mayor and council? So do we want to suggest that we continue the subcommittee and that then the subcommittee can come up with its own agenda on what it's going to be looking at? Anybody got any thoughts on that?
Madam Chair, this is Bruce. Yeah. First, I apologize. I'm sitting outside the Starbucks, and so you may hear some
street
noise.
Oh, that's okay.
Noise. Yeah. But as I was listening to this, and I'm first to tell you, I'm not an auditor or, you know, the trial lawyer. I didn't have any experience in this area. But what I'm hearing is that we're not clear on what the internal auditors are doing and what reports exist. Am I correct in that understanding?
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, they've told us what they audited in the past, but we've never really drug out the reports and really gone through them. We've only ever looked at the same ones all the time. So they always, that's very confusing to me. Why do they have the same audit plan every year? And they're doing the same audits. And I'm like, I don't get it. So part of it is, how are they selecting the audits? And like I said, I think they're highly qualified, the people that they have
right.
chosen. But so that wasn't an issue, except that maybe we're not getting auditors for a year because they're wanting somebody who's overly qualified. So, yeah, there's different topics.
Here's where I was going with this. We need to, if those individuals exist, we need to bring them in and ask the questions we're discussing here today and getting the answers to why they continue to have the same plan, what could be done differently, what's their view of how they could do this differently.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think Aaron is the only one who's left.
I see.
But he did that job for a few years, so he would be able to tell us whether he has time or not and when, you know, that would be a consideration. And actually, truthfully, I don't even know how they train the new people. So if they don't have anybody in that position, how are they training the new ones when they get there? You can't just
well,
read
I guess
a book. Yeah.
Can we get Aaron in to have that discussion and understand it a little more?
Sure. So, Sarah, could we put that on the agenda?
Madam Chair, yes, we could. It could be put up
agenda.
To a vote to put on the agenda.
Okay. So I would like to propose that we create an agenda item for the next meeting to have you know, a previous internal auditor, which I'm thinking is Aaron, come in and talk about the internal audit program. Do I have a second on that?
I will second.
Okay. So all in favor of putting that out as an agenda item, say aye.
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 Aye. And the nays? Nobody for nay? Okay. So yeah, we could add that.
So just so that I'm, this is Michael. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Bruce. Sorry.
Well, Michael, you were the topic of my question. matter of personal privilege. I would love to hear from you, Michael, with the chair's permission, about your background and what you would bring to the table here, because we see your face and hear your voice, but we don't know, at least I don't know much about you.
Yeah, that,
Madam Chair,
that
would that be appropriate?
Let's see. Absolutely. Yeah, you know, and Michael, that's another thing that none of us have ever done when we joined. And so nobody knows anything about anybody. You know, so it's really kind of a bizarre thing. Anyhow, and I read your letter to the city clerk, and maybe the other commissioners, you didn't see his letter, right?
No,
why
I did
wanted
not.
To join the commission. Okay, okay.
Okay, but so Michael, you can tell me.
Yeah. Yeah, give us a recap for a few minutes.
Sure. And I just wanted to follow on to that previous decision to put an agenda item forward. I just want to understand. So when we hear from someone from the city, it'll be someone that actually has leadership or oversight to the internal auditing that occurs in the city. Because I'm personally not really interested in hearing from someone that used to do that work or knows about the work. So I don't know if that's a city manager's office, but it would be good to hear from someone that actually has, you know, authority or oversight to that work to understand like what's going on. Does that make sense? Or am I off base here?
Maybe. I'm not sure either. Because we have the business. I know that position works for the city manager, but Sarah, who is the boss of the internal auditors? Is it the CFO?
Madam Chair, members of the commission, that would be Anna Rosenberry that oversees BSD functions that includes the internal auditor hiring, but also the director of BSD, who's on this call as well, Angel, would also be more than qualified to give brief updates on that.
Yeah, and so, yeah, good point. I'm not sure who the best people are to talk to. It probably eventually be the auditor too, but maybe you can discuss with business services and find out who's got the most experience with the internal audit function and what they're supposed to be doing, and have that person come and discuss it. And actually, if we can get any kind of, I don't know what they have as far as procedures or overview or something, I have never seen it. So if they have any documented information that the internal auditors, that the program is run using, that would be helpful to be sent out before that that meeting. Because it's not in the charter. There's the paragraph in there, and it doesn't say anything, basically. Okay, so now though,
sure.
I wanted to know about you. Yeah.
Sure. So, so again, my name is Michael Lottie, and I live, here in Tucson, and moved here about 14 years ago. Previous to that, lived in the state of Maine, worked for state government there for about 10 years in education services, Department of Education programming. did some work for the governor specific to quality management and process improvement in government services, and then also was a faculty member at the University of Southern Maine in public policy. And here in Tucson, I currently work for a small firm in town, LaCroix & Milligan Associates, and we provide a range of services mostly to public sector around data analytics, evaluation, I think similar to the kind of process review and evaluation that was mentioned earlier. I am not an auditor. I'm not a CPA. I'm not a forensic accountant. I have training in the statistical methodologies and applied research. And we actually have done work for the State Auditor General's office. There was reference made earlier where sometimes they'll bring in folks with expertise in certain areas. And so our company, we're a vendor with the state. So we've done that kind of work. But again, I'm personally not trained as an auditor. I have background in performance improvement and performance management in the public sector. So have helped departments and agencies improve processes in order to gain efficiencies or effectiveness. And have done this work probably, for about 30 years. And so I'm very, very close to retirement, very close. So I'm trying to keep a good attitude at my work, but I'm joking, but seriously. And so so that led me to, I got the Kevin Dahl's newsletter, and I saw the notice for, looking for volunteers for this commission. And so I contacted him and I said, hey, I'm soon to retire. I'm not an auditor, but I have a background that might be useful because I, simply just want to provide some support. And because of my professional background and experience with that, I really am very interested in helping public sector entities be more accountable. I'm very concerned about that. And so, I live, with my wife, and we have a small Boston Terrier and lots of birds and a turtle in our backyard. And I enjoy bike riding and really have started to make a nice home for us here in Tucson.
That's great.
So brand new to the commission world. So please excuse me and please help me if I'm sort of, out of bounds with stuff, but I've had the experience for a few decades of doing this type of work and actually seeing improvements. And I do think transparency and accountability is really critical in government work. And so that's my why for wanting to help out with this. So there you go.
Great. Well, welcome. Yeah.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah. All extremely relevant. Yeah.
I'd love to hear from you all as well. If you would have 2 minutes or a minute to just share who you are and what brought you here, or perhaps that could be on the agenda for the next meeting. I don't know, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's see. Who's got a hard stop? Not that we're going to take a lot of time.
Let's put that on the agenda for next time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would need to leave about 12:30.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Then we better. Yeah, we'll put it on the agenda for next time, and we can.
Yeah.
Is everybody in favor of that? Yes.
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 Okay. Perfect. Okay. So let's see. Topic five is review of the IPC frequency and bylaws. So right now the bylaws tie us into meeting on the first Wednesday of the month at 3:00. I think it has the time even. And so due to various things, a lot of times people are working, 3:00 in the afternoon is a It's right in the workday. And so I know personally I haven't been able to make it to a few meetings because I'm working. So, and I'm sure other people have had the problem. So what I'd like to propose is that we come up with some wording in that bylaws where we're going to meet when we need to, and we can meet at the times we need to, depending on who has to come to the meeting. So I think that in the past, the meetings have always been at 3 o'clock because we always had somebody from the city, you know, who needed to come. And Sarah is at this, you know, from the city too. And so it's all been built around the people who are going to come and talk. But maybe we, and the day, I think they just didn't pick Tuesdays because often Tuesday is a city council meeting, and I don't know why they didn't pick the other days. So I would just like to propose we review those bylaws, and actually Sarah could pull them up right now, but I think we each got a copy, have a copy, but come up with your proposal or suggestion of how we could word when we meet. A lot of commissions only meet when they have business. Right now we're tied into meeting every month, and even if we don't have anything to talk about. And so I'm hoping to just make it flexible. We still have publishing requirements. Okay, so you got this pulled up. Meetings shall be, let's see, blah, 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 blah. Where does it talk in here about the day of the week it has to be on? Because it is somewhere. Regular meetings, yeah, section 2. Yeah, first Wednesday of the month at 3 p.m. I mean, somebody thought that was a good idea years ago, but you know, it's very restrictive. And then if we don't meet and we can't meet or whatever, the commissioners all get penalized because they can't come. And then after X amount of meetings that you can't attend, then you get wiped off the commission. I mean, we're not helping the commission and stick to what it is we are supposed to be doing. My suggestion would be the next time we meet, maybe we could all come with our suggestion on how that should be worded. Is there anybody have? Well, and Sarah, can you go over this PNS statement thing? Because there, even though we have these bylaws, there is a workaround with the city and the city clerk's office, and we can fill out a form that says we can meet when we want to, and here's going to be the next meeting. We just have to post. They want us to post the meeting agenda at least 24 hours in advance, if not more. And so right now we're kind of operating under that workaround. And so I'm just wanting to bring it in alignment with what the city is actually allowing. Do you happen to have that statement?
Yes, give me one moment.
Perfect. So, yeah, it's really strange they have a workaround because it doesn't make any sense to me. So I filled this out the other day because we couldn't meet on Wednesday. I couldn't meet on Wednesday. I was working. But when other people aren't meeting, we should have the flexibility to be able to adjust to our schedules so we can, you know, have this commission continue and function and maybe even get more people. I'm kind of wondering. So right now I picked option A, and meeting notices and agendas will be available to the public at the IAPC website no less than 24 hours before the meeting. So it's not, you know, we're not trying to keep things from the public and we have that transparency by posting it. But I'm just thinking that having it on the same day, the same month, I mean, it's just how practical is that for everybody? So does anybody have any thoughts on that? Just being able to set the meeting. So say at this meeting, we could set the meeting for the next date. Or we can just, you know, do what we've been doing, sending out an email saying, okay, what's your availability for the month of July? And then we can all come to a conclusion as to when the meeting should be, and we can publicize it. So
Madam Chair, if I may?
Yeah.
So the PNS form, so the city clerk's office is going by the PNS form. So what you're looking at right now and what you filled out last week allows the commission at this point in time to meet when only required. So right now the IAPC has the ability to schedule a posting or supply a posting for a meeting notice and agendas 24 hours before each meeting. So this is already submitted. The IAPC has the ability to proceed with this. The one thing that the city clerk's office is needing from the IAPC is to have a vote on the bylaws to reflect this current, whatever is written on the PNS form right now. So that's what they're needing currently right now.
So we could simply just change it to the wording that's on here.
On the bylaws.
Yeah. We could change the bylaws to what's on this notice.
Correct.
So does that sound like, I don't know how we want to do this. I don't know if you guys want to, if everybody wants to think about it and come back next month, or if it's something that we want to vote on now.
Madam Chair, Aaron Williams has his hand up.
Oh, okay. Mr. Williams?
Hi, sorry to interrupt, Madam Chair, members of the commission.
No.
I just want to feel obligated so you don't go too far down a road. Just to mention, the IAPC is not a meets as needed commission. So that clerk's form that you filled out might not be valid, the section that you filled out. Keep in mind that your meet and frequency is currently in the Tucson Code. The section is, sorry, give me 1 second.
I think it's the one we were looking at, right?
No, that's your bylaws. So the section that determines your meet-in frequency is the section 10A-123, number C, letter C. So that is the requirement that sets it as a monthly meet-in. So just to make sure that you're going down the right road with the clerk's office on what you can and can't change. Okay.
Okay, so
all right,
you
thank
said 1, 2, 3?
10A, 1, 2, 3, C.
C.
All right, thank you.
Oh, that's subcommittees. Commission shall meet once a month or more frequently as may be necessary. Okay. So, yeah, that holds us into once a month.
But that doesn't require, I mean, can't we determine that on this month we don't need to meet and take a pass on it? Are we required to just come together in some formalistic way? There's no agenda?
You know, it is, that's just the way they wrote it. Yeah.
Well, we're not going to get the city charter to change.
Well, you could make a recommendation to the mayor and council and for a charter change. But I don't think, I think we may not need to go that far right now, but we could, because we could put the meeting any day of the month, but right now in our bylaws, it says it has to be on the first Wednesday. So even just getting the bylaws changed to meet once a month, time to be determined prior to the meeting, you know, to meet the publishing requirements. We could change it to something as simple as that.
Well, a bylaw change is certainly doable within the commission. I'm wondering if there's an opportunity to talk to city attorney's office for a workaround about that monthly obligation.
Okay. How would we do that, Sarah?
Madam Chair, members of the commission, we could find a staff member or somebody in the attorney's office to be present at this meeting, but that will need to be put on the agenda.
So maybe that could be on the agenda for next month also. There's one other item in the... There's one other item in the bylaws.
My motion is to review the bylaws in the presence of city attorney to make revisions as appropriate.
Okay. I second that. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Any nays? No? Okay. Then we will put that on the agenda. I just wanted to point out there's one more statement in the bylaws. What is it? There's one more thing in there that is different. Can you bring the bylaws? Well, I gotta look at my own computer here. Let's see. The bylaws have one other thing in here, but and maybe we can just, you know, like you said, we'll end up reviewing this. It's about the quorum. So right, section three, right below two, a quorum shall consist of four authorized members. If a quorum is not met within 15 minutes after the scheduled meeting time, the meeting will be canceled. Now the city attorney's office, I believe, already did a workaround on that. And it is the number of members you have to have. I forget what their wording is, but we need to consider this change also when we meet.
Agreed. And I think the language they would use is you have to have a quorum of the members appointed.
Yes.
In other words, filled, not vacant.
Well, you know, wait a minute. Quorum shall consist of four authorized members. Yeah, so right now.
Well, I agree with you that this needs to be reviewed.
Now, the one that you pulled up, Sarah, it says a majority of members currently appointed shall constitute a quorum. But where did you get that at? Because that's not the same, it's not the same bylaws I have.
Madam Chair, members of the commission, this is from the IAPC webpage underneath the city clerk's office. So I went to the IAPC webpage.
Yeah.
And then I went down and the bylaws underneath six.
I wonder if they changed it because we didn't change it. Because I'm reading the bylaws that I have from a while ago. I downloaded them 8/12 of 2020. And they say IAPC bylaws 5-5-10. I don't remember us going in there and approving this, but maybe they did. I just don't remember that. That was quite a while ago. Okay, so we're okay on that part.
I think the point would be that let's review this at the meeting with the lawyer and get some clarity.
Yeah. Okay, done. All right. That's on the next agenda. Done.
It will currently be harder for us to get a quorum.
With what do you mean?
You need a majority of the members serving, not an equal number.
It would be three out of four.
Yeah.
And I think we've been following that rule, too.
Well, again, with all respect to the tie here, we can look at this when we have a lawyer in the room and have it pulled all together.
Okay. Okay, section of the Tucson Code regarding IAPC functions and reporting requirements. We were just going to be discussing what we were going to be reviewing. I think maybe when we talk about, so this is kind of up in the air. We've got the functions there. We probably need to put this one on the next agenda also, just because we're out of time.
I thought we did that.
Pardon?
So we did that.
We kind of looked at this, but I think we need to just keep in mind what it is it says we're supposed to be doing here. Well,
Madam Chair, if I may, members of the commission, we did go over IAPC functions. That was back in November of 2024. If I remember correctly, we didn't actually pull up the Tucson code. We mentioned it, but we didn't have it up on the screen and actually analyzed it and looked it up.
Okay. So because of the time, I think we should move that one to the next meeting also, if we need to look at it again. So does anybody see a need to review that at a meeting or and have a discussion on it at this point in time? Not that we would never do it.
Well, does that fall into the category of things we need to clean up?
Yeah. Well, it's kind of just, you know, it's kind of the reason I brought it up too is we've kind of gone around a little bit of what is this commission supposed to be doing. And I still think there's a need to have a discussion on that. I don't know. Does anybody have any thoughts on that? So we've got our new commissioner, and he's wanting to know, you know, well, what are we actually doing? And I think in the past what we've done may have been just status quo, and every month everybody did the same thing, and every year they all did the same thing. So just it was more of a refresher on looking at, okay, what does it say we're supposed to be doing? And are we doing these things? And could they be different, or do we have any ideas? I mean, this could even set, you know, work into how we set agendas. What are we talking about? So when you look at things like, for instance, provide independent appraisal of city programs, policies, and functions, maybe we need to have our own schedule of what we look at, you know, and then plus things that happen to come up. Right now, we've bounced around from topic to topic, and it just seems, to me, it doesn't make any sense. We're just, hey, who wants to talk about what next month? It just doesn't, I can't figure out why are we doing that. So, yeah, I myself am kind of up in the air about what are we supposed to be doing. And
well,
so,
if we're going to be looking at the, if we're going to be looking at bylaws, looking at things to adjust, let's put this on the agenda with that topic and just work through this so that we get some direction out of it.
Great. Okay, I'll second that motion to put the review of the IAPC functions and the city code on the agenda next time with the other stuff. Do I have any? Should we take a vote on that? Everybody in favor?
Sure. Aye.
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 Okay, great. Done. Do we have a agenda item 7? We drafted the report, and I thought we reviewed it, but we didn't review that 6-month report?
Madam Chair, members of the commission, we submitted the FY24 annual report. I have a draft of a 6-month report. It's kind of similar to the layout of the annual report that was submitted. But let me go ahead and share the screen real quick. So this is a 6-month draft report. And similar to the annual report, how it was formatted, it was similar. The thing is that usually the six-month report, it is in best practice to go from January up until the end of, before the start of the next fiscal year. So this is a, it kind of breaks down what the IAPC has done. And then going down, it talks about internal audit activities reported to the commission. And then you provide a list of that to the mayor and council.
Right. So if we look at the last report, let's see here. I've got the 2024 one. So I can work on the report.
Madam Chair, members of the commission, if I may, I do have the FY24 annual report that was submitted. Let me just go ahead and look it up and pull it up for you. Report.
As far as I know, we haven't gotten any feedback on that.
So members, Madam Chair, members of the commission, this is the annual report that was submitted back on March 14, 2025 for the whole FY24 year, fiscal year 2024. And this was submitted to mayor and council.
Do they typically have any feedback at all?
Usually, Madam Chair, members of the commission, so the IAPC chair has the ability to present this in person at a mayor and council meeting. So usually you get feedback during that time, but regarding the actual written feedback, I apologize, but I'm unsure.
Well, yeah, well, you haven't been around that long. Well, anyhow, okay, so it's time to draft another report for the first 6 months. And truthfully, I think we should be sending them more often. So the charter, I think, said every 6 months as a minimum. And I think it should be going more often. I don't know who's reading it, but anyhow. Okay, so can you send a copy of the last two or to the commissioners, please? And then that way we'll have that thing to review, and I guess I got to start drafting the.
Madam Chair, if I could, just to clarify, Madam Chair, you want the six-month meeting report, not the last annual report, correct?
Six-month meeting. What's the difference? Were there two?
So, Madam Chair, members of the commission, there's usually two things. One of it's a six-month meeting report, which is usually starts from January to June before the next fiscal year. And the annual report kind of gives an overview of what the IAPC actually did. And also, like the activities that the IAPC did, so.
Okay. I was thinking there, okay. I would say look at both of them so everybody can get familiar with what they look like. So I've got report on activities. I see what you mean. So it's January.
Is the meeting coming?
Yeah. If you can send the last two, that would be great. Or, you know, the yearly one and then the 6 month. We can take a look at them and see. I added some topics to the last annual report that I thought were relevant. And so it's got meetings held, meetings missed, current number of commissioners, attendance report, review of city internal auditor activity. And I think, you know, and I have no problem going to a city council meeting to represent the IAPC just to talk about the report, because we're not getting, we just aren't getting people flocking in to the commission. And we're also not we also don't have any audits to oversee, because who knows when it's planned to hire anybody. So we're kind of, you know, we're going to do half our function until they get more internal auditors. Okay, great. Let's see here. I think I closed my agenda, so let me go find it. Sorry about that.
On the audience.
Yeah, what's the next thing on the agenda, Sarah?
Madam Chair, it's going to be called to the audience, item number 8.
Okay. All right. And I don't know, do we have anybody additional in the audience? No. Okay. Well, that takes care of that part. All right. And the future agenda items, can you just recap what we put on there, Sarah?
Madam Chair, members of the Commission, yes. So we have agenda items regarding the bylaws. So review that with the city attorney or somebody from the city attorney's office. We also have something about the Tucson Code and review that. Do need clarification on if you also want to go through that with the city attorney, because it is dealing with the ordinance. If you want to change
city. Yeah, I don't think that we're going to, does anybody have any thoughts on that? But I think that's kind of a big thing to chew off, and we probably don't need to go that route right now. Any thoughts on that from anybody?
So you got the attorney here. Why not just talk about both items?
Yeah, that's my take on this. We should get an attorney involved in the whole mess and get it done.
Okay, great. Then I'd vote for leaving that on there. Okay.
All right, Madam Chair, Commission, let me go ahead and recap. So we did talk about forming a subcommittee to look at the internal audit programs. There was discussion about getting somebody for the city manager's office to go over that, either the CFO or director of BSD. So that is also an agenda item for next time. And then the revised agenda item regarding the bylaws and the Tucson City Code to review with a city attorney or somebody from the city attorney's office. And that is, I believe that is all to add for future agenda items.
Yeah, I think that's what I heard during the meeting. Are the other commissioners any comments on any? I think that's probably quite a bit for the next meeting, but any comments on any more agenda items or any changes?
That meets my recollection of what we talked about.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, thanks. Yeah.
Okay.
And if there is an annual plan for next year for the internal auditing folks at the city, I think the chair had mentioned to try to get that to us ahead of time. That would be awesome. So.
Yes.
Yeah, whatever. Well, it was not only that, but if they have some kind of a charter themselves or procedures that they go by. Because I've not seen that. Or if I did, it's been a long time.
Madam Chair, members of commission, I'll go ahead and note that down to provide that to IAPC before the next meeting.
Perfect. Yeah, I think that'll be a good start. Great. Okay, and then next item is adjournment. And I want to thank everybody. Thank everybody for attending. And Sarah, thank you as usual. And commissioners, I look forward to the next meeting. I think what we'll. So right now, we have to meet our single requirement. We have to meet every month, according to the charter, and then the bylaws. I'm still confused. I don't know if we have to meet on Wednesday, or if we can meet on whatever day we all agree on.
Don't we have a provision for special meetings?
We can meet more than once a month, is what it says.
Yeah.
This
is the ambiguity that we need to get resolved here.
Well, you know what? Okay, so if we, we'll just send out a meeting notice, because if we can meet more than once a month, we could technically meet again this month, but we want to be able to get the city attorney's availability, the office.
Right.
So Sarah, can you work on that part? So we could always have a special meeting just to talk about the bylaws and the charter. And then if we can get that squared away in another meeting this month or something, then maybe it'll be a moot point by the time we get to the first Wednesday in July.
Right.
So that's a possibility. Because the first Wednesday in July is July 2nd. Anyhow, so Sarah, can you find out the availability of the city attorney office people? And I mean, who knows when they're available?
Madam Chair, I'll go ahead and get that done as soon as possible.
Okay.
And provide availability for the city attorney.
Otherwise, we're kind of locked into July 2nd legally. Okay. All right. Well, thanks again for attending, and we'll be sending out a notice on the date for the next meeting.
Michael, again, welcome aboard.
Yes, yeah, thank
Michael,
you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
This will be great. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Take care, everybody.
Time is 12:40 p.m., and we are adjourned.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Thank you.